Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everybody. Is it just me? Do you know, I'm going to tell you a secret, James Williams. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. I'm Joe Elvin. I'm the host of this, whatever this is.
It's our
podcast, Is It Just Me? Every time I go to introduce It's the New Podcast, I kind of want to say It's the Muppet Show. And I stop myself every single time. So let's just get It's the Muppet Show out of the way.
Okay.
Now it's Is It Just Me podcast. I'm sort of rambling already because I'm actually quite nervous, everybody, because we've got some proper professional podcasters in today. It's Interpodcast Breeding.
This is like the G8 of podcasts, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good, isn't
not
it?
Not that I'm overriding it at all.
So they're waiting to be introduced.
Yeah,
they're thinking, if they're professional, they would have introduced us by now.
Not on this one.
But it's the amazing stars of Homo Sapiens podcast, Will Young and Chris Sweeney.
Hey!
Hello!
Hey.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we'll put that in later.
This is like when Girls Aloud duetted with Sugar Babes, I reckon. That's how I'm...
Oh my God.
Don't you think? It's got that level,
in
I
the
think.
Middle.
No, I'm not over-egging it.
What
I'm
was
really
it called? Feel-
It was a cover, wasn't it?
No, it was a Rolling Stones cover, wasn't it?
Didn't they do...
Aerosmith.
Walk This Way, that was it.
Who was
Run
it
DMC. Girls Aloud, Sugar Babes, and they duetted together on a charity record, didn't they? That's the vibe I'm getting from
that
today.
That would not have been a harmonious
This one's going to be harmonious.
Did you hate each other?
I think that's why
it
was such a big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been like when Spice Girls and All Saints did that. Well, didn't they do a World Cup song together? We've really gone off on a girl band duet.
I am so with the gays now.
I was gonna say, this is a refreshing change. You're probably outnumbered, Joe. How are you feeling?
Well, you know, there's a lot of love in the room. There's a lot of testosterone in the room. There's a lot of noise.
We've got a drill.
Yeah, we are backstage behind the curtain in Will Young's dressing room in the Piccadilly Theatre, where he's currently starring in Strictly Ballroom. We're hoping that vent's going to go soon. We're hoping. But so don't tell me about this because I know about it.
We are aware.
Yeah.
We have some complaints about sound on our podcast too.
We've had some issues.
We get told off for eating.
Oh, really?
Oh, do you?
Because we both eat a lot for some reason. I don't know why.
We come together and chat and eat. Mm. Yeah, that's what you do.
So tell us about your podcast.
Chris came up with it. We both love Women's Hour, so he said, what about doing a Women's Hour for the LGBT, from an LGBTQ plus perspective, and do a podcast? I like really wasn't massively au fait with podcasts, and I didn't really know. Don't listen to them. Still don't really listen to them. I don't. But I absolutely love doing it.
They are a lot of fun.
Yeah, and so we did it in Chris's house. We just hit record on his phone, and then it just sort of... happened, and it's just been wonderful.
Well, I think that's how most we sort of started doing it as a bit of a laugh as well, you know, and suddenly people actually start listening to it and liking it and responding, so it's quite amazing.
And it's just opened my eyes to a lot of things. I think just like people, I think more and more want more and more things that are authentic. You know, they
can't
like
get more authentic than this vent.
Do you know what I mean?
Going off in the background
this
right
vent
now. I think we've just got that gold medal.
Yeah.
With this.
Well,
yeah.
We did one interview on our podcast was with John Grant. It was just Will and John in a restaurant where the room gradually got noisier and noisier.
Oh my God!
Someone started like doing this. You know, coffee machines like this really.
Yes.
it was so noisy, and I say with fingers crossed, it was still the favourite episode. People loved it because they loved what was being said because they had an amazing conversation.
So don't moan about the vent, everybody. It's authentic.
Yeah, we're giving you backstage theatre realness.
Yeah.
In Will's decorated dressing room. Can we talk about that a little bit, just because it's so beautifully decorated?
Well, it's kind of... How would you describe it, Chris? I'm sort of a bit lost for words.
It's
a junk shop.
It's Judy Dench goes to Morocco, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, wow. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
There's a lovely sort of like Moroccan-style rug on the floor.
Yes, Morocco.
We've got a sort of like a rustic looking little wooden table that you might find in a souk somewhere.
Rustic?
Yeah.
This is my grandmother's.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
You've got rollerblades as well. Do you rollerblade?
I rollerblade in the show.
Do you? Oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, you're not rollerblading to work and back.
No, but actually, no, those are my spare ones. But I almost stacked it the other day. And then next to them, some Vivian Westwood.
I must admit, it's because I have seen Strictly Ballroom, and if you haven't seen it, I 1000% recommend it. It's just such fun, and it's so beautiful and brilliantly done. And, you know, I'm slightly biased because I am an Aussie, and it's...
Well,
kind
no,
from my
I feel
land.
You'd be more critical, no, because, like, that's...
No, I just adored it, and I saw it with my Aussie pal, Kathy, and we were bouncing out of the theatre, so you have to go and see it. But I was very tense in the rollerblading bits, because I am thinking...
He's going to stack it.
And then there's like a 0.5% of me think, oh, I'd like to see what happens if that does happen.
Yes,
but
no, me too.
Yeah.
You'd go viral, Will. You'd definitely go viral.
I'd go viral and I'd go home, I think, along with some of the audience. Like, because I would just... I head towards the audience and I actually don't know how to stop on roller skates because I used to rollerblade a lot but not roller skate. Wow. And the stoppers are at a different sort of roller skates, the stoppers at the front. So the only way I know how to stop, I don't know if you noticed, but is just to turn in a circle.
Yeah.
So I turn in a circle a lot, but if I get it wrong, I literally would just stack it straight into the audience. Wow. And probably hurt someone.
I think if you do that, you just have to get up and scream, that was part of it.
Just clamber back up.
Maintain the Australian accent.
Yeah, all the way through.
That was part of it. I can't do an Australian accent as well as you can now. Because I feel it.
You've been here so long.
To do it properly, I have to really think about it now.
It's difficult. When someone says, talk in an Australian accent, I find it very hard to do, even though I'm not Australian, because I suddenly get conscious and have to really think about it.
Was there anybody in particular that you listened to?
Yeah, it was Peter Allen.
Oh, yes.
And who's maybe not everyone would know, a very well-known Australian cabaret singer, no?
Oh, yes.
And married to Liza Minnelli.
Huge in the
70s.
Portrayed by Hugh Jackman on stage.
Yes.
Can you believe it? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That was sort of
Boy
like
from
Hugh
Oz.
Jackman's
yeah,
big
Boy from Oz,
crossover into theatre. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Dame Edna. So there was those two. Yeah.
Not Les Patterson.
Oh, well, I did do Les Patterson.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that was when I was going to make him a lot darker. And I don't think he is going to be that dark. I mean, Les Patterson's quite... You know.
Well, I'm bringing my daughter to see it again. I just thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, good.
Because how long are you in it for, Will?
Two more months. Yeah.
Hence why you've made yourself so
hence
at home.
Hence why I've made myself so at home. And everyone does. So if you go through everyone's dressing rooms, you get a snippet of what their home would look like. Mine does look like a junk shop.
A Moroccan junk shop.
Yeah. And it's great fun. And the people are lovely. And it's very funny. I mean, it really is
Well,
funny.
The film is so great. The source material is brilliant. So, you can't really go wrong, can
you? Have you seen it, Chris?
I haven't seen
it. Because you went so quiet. So I thought I'm going to ask.
Back up there. I actually had tickets to see it. I was all booked. I was outside the theatre and I called Will and said...
And I wasn't there.
How do I get back to find you afterwards? And he picked up the phone and was like, hello. He was like, I'm just driving. And I was like, back of my mind, I was like, I'm driving. The show starts in a minute. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I've got that wrong. And then I went, anyway, so where do I find you or something? And you just went, oh. And I was like, what? And he's like, I forgot to tell you I'm not on tonight.
And you didn't go and see it without Will, out of spite.
No. I'm sure the understudy is wonderful, but I was like, oh, I'll come back when you're on the next one.
Well, it is a treat. But so how often do you get to see each other then at the moment and do other stuff?
We see each other a lot. Mm. Podcast or not podcast or in town. It's nice having you in town because...
Makes it easy.
We had lunch the other day, didn't we? We had a power lunch.
Podcast or not, we'd be talking anyway. So we just happen to just record it.
How do you guys find your guests? Do you find that people are actually approaching you more? Or is it still about going out and finding people you really like?
I wish.
We Michelle Obama approached us.
Of course.
A duffel bag and a baseball bat.
She's doing the rounds, that one. Yeah. She's asking us.
Yawn, isn't it? we actually kind of don't really do people who are on a press tour because I think that means that then they're everywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also we just contact people we like, who we think are amazing and inspiring. So, yeah, there isn't really much of a method to it. We sit down and do like a long list of people. And then loads of people say no because they're busy and all the rest of it. And then, yeah, we kind of work it from there. And then people do contact us now. But often it's like not necessarily right.
But yeah, it's been such a huge hit as well. People absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It has gone really well. Yeah. And it's just nothing but a pleasure to do. Because the thing for myself, I think for both of us, is hearing back from people who are listening, you know.
Well, I always say this to people, you know, we love our listeners because they're so engaged, and I think it's because it's really intimate. You're literally in people's ears. And also, you know, it's equivalent, I think, to going to the cinema. You know, often you watch TV, you're distracted on your phone, whereas in the cinema, you are in the dark, you're there, and you're watching the film. And I feel like podcasts are very similar. People are there, and they're with you, because, like I said, you're right in their ears. They can't really get away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone I got a really nice message from someone yesterday saying, I've learnt so much about the LGBT community and myself by listening to your podcast, your Chris's podcast. And I thought that was a really, really great. Lovely to hear that, that someone had learned a lot about himself as well.
We get like 5 emails a day from people saying, this has changed my life.
That's incredible.
Is extraordinary. Like, you know.
And you're having fun doing it, and that's the thing. But I think that's why people enjoy it. You know, it kind of feeds into it.
It's just funny. I mean, we make each other laugh. So I just like, I mean, when I listen back to the episodes before it goes live, you know, we both listen back, and I do just sit I do it in this dressing room, so I get them sent, and I'm getting ready, and I just listen to it, and I laugh. I think anyone walking past me thinks, my God, there he is, listening to himself again. And laughing. But it's funny.
That's the only downside about doing a podcast, is having to get used to the sound of your own voice, because obviously we spend most of our... I mean, maybe you're different as a singer, but you know, I think most people hate their voice, so they avoid listening to themselves. Whereas once you've got a podcast, you've got to listen back to it and actually make sure you've not said anything too bad or... too absurd, so you have to develop a bit of a tougher skin, put up with your own voice.
That is quite a common thing, isn't it? People don't like...
People hate their voice.
I loathe my own voice, and I'd like to apologise to everybody right now.
Thank God for that extractor fan drowning you out.
It's
not stopping.
I know, it's really not letting go. It really wants to be the fifth wheel in this podcast. Well, if you haven't checked out Homo Sapiens, guys, do check it out, because I think if you enjoy our show, you'll definitely enjoy Chris and Will's show. It's really fantastic.
And it's a real sort of like voice piece and representation for the LGBT community, which is wonderful. Whereas ours is more of a representation for the idiots.
Yeah, not but you're the yin to our yang.
There is definitely a crossover.
For people with stupid problems like mine and James's, this is a real go-to place. Yeah.
Anyway, we're now going to drag you down to our level, I'm afraid. Yeah. It's time to sort of discuss some very earth-shattering, the important issues.
We were there already. Please, let's do it.
Is it just me who doesn't speak to my neighbours?
You're a celebrity, that's what celebrities do, isn't it? He's so aloof. He's changed since he got famous.
No, I think I'm really interested in just the concept of having neighbours. Because I like my neighbours, but at the same time there's another part of me that hates anyone who I live next to. And it's not fair. It's completely like unjustified. My neighbours are very nice, but I sort of like, I don't want to get too attached to a neighbour.
Well, there's that.
I
have post-traumatic neighbour disorder. And then I had the most horrendous neighbours a few years ago. They were DJs, I think.
Oh,
and they were not maligning all DJs, but it was, they would get home, move all their equipment out of their van at like 4 a.m, shout and scream at each other, sometimes turn the music on, sit out there having a few beers till 6-7 o'clock in the morning, and this is 3-4 nights a week.
That's so annoying.
I was in tears a lot. And then they just suddenly left again, but this went on for about 18 months. And so every time somebody new moves into where they lived, my shoulders are up around my ears for about 3 weeks thinking, what are they going to be like?
That's serious though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
a
friend of mine has had a bad experience with some neighbours and gets very nervous that it will sort of come back.
Yeah.
But those kind of things can be, because what can you do about that?
Well, I think you're right. I think once you've had it, once you've been scarred, but I, funnily enough, I've had it on the receiving end. So I recently moved into my house 18 months ago, and there's a woman there who is, and she eventually apologised to me because she kept shouting and complaining at me, and I'm not a loud person, I'm not having parties, I'm not...
Despite the loud voice.
annoying voice.
Love of techno.
But it was like, at like 6:30 in the evening, she'd be shouting at the garden fence, telling me to keep things down, you know, and eventually I went round and cleared the air, and she was a bit like, do you know what, I'm really, really sorry, she said, we've had such a bad run of neighbours on either side of us before, that I've probably been really over-centred, and I've taken it out on you, and actually you're a great neighbour. So it is weird, but I mean, I kind of love my neighbourhood because everyone laughs when I say this, but my street has an email chain.
Oh.
Everyone emails each other.
Are you itching?
Yes.
Are you that
Does that make you tense?
You? Yeah.
So
yeah.
I joined one and then I left it straight away.
Chris, how could you do that?
Because I was like, oh, no way.
It's quite useful.
I imagine it is useful, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, when they start sending emails about, I've cooked too much pizza, does anybody want an extra slice?
Yeah.
That is a bit mundane.
Well,
it does
now that's useful.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'll be rounded.
You don't want to miss that slice of pizza.
No way.
No.
But I do kind of love my neighbour because they're really good. They're really shit hot on things like, you know, if one of the restaurants is trying to get a late alcohol licence, they all rally together, or, you know, they stopped a McDonald's from opening down the road. So they're really quite politicised as well as the mundane, fun, bake-offs.
We used to live in the same square. I just remembered this, and we had a residents' association in the square, and they would like knock on my front door. The guy who ran it, who I know doesn't listen to podcasts, he would knock on my door and be like, "Your outside light's on."
Oh my god!
And I was like,
"No,
I know, it's my house." Clunk.
That's extreme.
But he was really intense with you, wasn't he?
He was really intense.
Quite a few people always banging on the door.
In case you're one of those pop stars who was going to have your rowdy pop star parties.
No, I think he was like, I don't know, there's just something, I think it's about, and it's got nothing to do with being famous or not, it's like, my space is my space. I don't want to allow others, you know, where's the boundary? Like, literally, I know
absolutely.
The physical boundaries,
yes.
And I just think,
and the first time you let somebody drop in for a cup of tea, that's the boundary moved, and then they'll think they can do it all the time.
And
I hate all of that. People
commenting, like, I remember someone commenting once, like, when my garden was being done, and I remember thinking, one, it just wasn't very tactful, because I think, like, I would never make a comment saying, I've been looking at your garden from my bedroom window, because that's the only way I'd be able to look into a neighbour's garden.
Yeah.
That was actually
think,
me, then.
Yeah, that was me. Well, yeah. But that's, like, you know, those kind of things just make me go crazy.
Well, one of my very first flats in London, it was a studio flat, and it had like a sleeping platform. So you basically climbed up a ladder to go to bed. So basically, what I'm basically saying is my actual bed was very close to the floor of the couple living above me, who I can only imagine must have just had the misfortune of literally placing their bed directly over my bed. So when they had sex, it was like I was having sex with them. Because there was literally a space of about 8 inches between me and them. Because I was literally so close to my ceiling, and they were obviously quite...
like, come on, you
I
can
mean,
do it!
That was
it's
proper
like,
testing of your, like... Because obviously I could never make eye contact with them, so it was mortifying.
I used to live below a single guy, and every Thursday night, it was like, my husband and I, oh God, it's date night again. Every Thursday night. But here, I'm going to make you all really tense now, I can tell. In my street, once a year, we have a roving dinner party.
can I just say, all three of us just literally went, what?
They all
recoiled. My mother-in-law does this.
Yeah, it's amazing. Sometimes I'm on dessert duty, and everybody in the street comes to my house for dessert. Sometimes I've done starters, and we go to everybody's different house, and it always finishes at the lovely people at number 2 who do a cheese and pork course.
But what happens if you don't like? What about the people you don't like?
Well, like, I just get so drunk. I love everybody. Yeah.
I'd be like, get out of my house.
Well, no, but that's the thing, because you know, everybody knows that there's an itinerary, so they're only in your house for a little while.
I do think I actually kind of love my neighbours. I kind of love the fact that there's a residence committee, there's a book club, there's a wine club, there's a bake sale regularly, there's a summer street party, there's a Christmas tree decorating party. And you're looking at me, Will, and I feel terrible because they always invite me because I'm obviously on the email chain and I very rarely take up the offer. But I kind of love that they do it, but I'm just not a good joiner in there in that sense, I don't think.
Maybe I'm just the oldest one here, and it's just what happens when you get old.
No, because I kind of wish that I was... I do wish that I was that person. Like, I think, like, hang on, what am I missing out on here? You know, like, this must be lovely. It's like my own sort of creating real roots in a place. Maybe, you know...
Also, do you think it's a terribly sort of London inner city thing? Because I guess in the regions, and I mean, I know where I come from in Wales, everyone knows and talks to their neighbours.
Yeah.
So do you think it's just in London, because no one talks on the tube, no one makes eye contact on the tube. It's just an unspoken rule. So I guess, does that then spill over into the way you view your neighbours as well, I think?
I read this thing saying that we live in such denseness in cities that we can't actually cope with it, so we just go silent on everybody. Because if you actually got into webbed with all the people in your block of flats, like, you'd go crazy.
You need somewhere that's a retreat.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of people knowing everything. So this is what it is. I don't like the idea of someone then going back and discussing my kitchen tiles.
Well, the thing is, the last time we did it, I just had my kitchen done, so that's exactly what I wanted everybody to do.
Oh, right.
She was showing up.
Kitchen. Oh, yeah. That's different.
Because when you spent the money, you know, you're on it.
Yeah, that's
a hot water tap over there, people.
Have you been to my kitchen?
No.
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Hooker. Yeah, I live southeast.
Which bit?
No, I'm not saying. Yeah.
They'll come and find you.
She's one of the neighbours this south.
Yeah, I'm not that open to. Yeah. Southeast.
But I want road
number.
Yeah. Postcodes. Yeah. So where are we at on this one then? I'm trying to make more
it's
of an effort with my neighbours. But I kind of think you have to respect people's boundaries. As you said, it's respecting boundaries. If you don't want to be a, you know, jolly neighbour that does all this thing.
I do say hello.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I think it's probably best just to leave it.
It's good to...
You're
not
roving dinner party yet, are you? That's a big step.
Oh, God.
But I've got you down for puddings.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This occurred to me the other day because somebody was whinging about all the weddings they're going to this year. And I realised I haven't been invited to one wedding. And I felt a little bit sad because summer is synonymous with weddings.
Yes.
And then I got to thinking... And this is going to be a really depressing thought. I just wondered if I'm now at that stage of life where I'm kind of waiting for the second marriages to come around. So basically, everyone has done their first marriage, and there's the inevitable, they're going to probably break up some of them, and then in about 5 years' time, I'll end up going to their second weddings. So I just think I've literally at the place now where everyone's kind of paired off. But yeah, I mean, having said that, I do get quite anxious about weddings, because I feel like they are like a ticking time bomb of things going wrong. As a guest, I mean, because it's depending on the time of the wedding and how you pace the alcohol and not making a fool of yourself. They're long days, aren't they?
They are long days. Do you know, I've never had that glut of loads of weddings.
Really?
Everybody has.
I went to six.
I've had a few drips and drabs in that time.
I went to six one year.
Really?
Yeah. But then I think I'm quite a good person as in, like, I need to say no to more things. I feel like obliged to say yes. And I then realise, after going to six weddings in 1 year and three of them I really wasn't that bothered about, I realised I now only go to weddings of people I genuinely know and love, because they're not cheap.
No.
You know, to go and buy the outfit, stay the night in a hotel, you know, buy the gift.
Yeah.
So, you know. But it's funny, because I mean, we have to talk about the royal wedding, Joe.
Well, I don't like to mention the royal wedding.
I want to grill you.
But at the royal wedding, it was a long day. But I went to a viewing party, which started obviously at 11 in the morning.
Should we
people
just pretend that I went to the royal wedding?
Yeah.
You can say you were there.
You did the BBC coverage, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was amazing.
And how
it was one
that?
Of the best days of my life. I don't know what Meghan was like, but yeah, I had a fantastic time.
Well, I met a girl the other day who actually hated the dress, which I don't understand. I thought she looked amazing.
Well, I'm afraid I've got no truck with slagging off any bride's dress as she's walking up the aisle.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's, you know, how much do you have to hate a dress, a beautiful white wedding dress, to say, oh, I hate that?
But is it any of our business anyway?
Quite.
She was happy with it.
Yeah, I thought it was stunning.
I was just baffled. I just thought it was so incredibly good. I just couldn't imagine anyone taking offence at it.
Yeah,
it's just weird.
Well, who's gone? Who hates it?
This girl I met, she went in on one saying how boring it was. It didn't fit her, and I was like, what? We'll be watching the same wedding. It was just really strange.
She looked stunning.
Yeah.
And I still can't stop thinking about it. And I always tell myself I'm not the kind of person who gets that bothered about a royal wedding. I'm not sort of like anti or pro royal, really, but I have to accept I always get swept up in it, and no more so than this year when I was supposed to be the person who knew what the dress designer was and to talk about all the fashion and all that.
So you did call the dress. She was the first person to call the dress.
I can't believe you were watching. I said that I was hoping. I said to one of my friends, I was sort of hoping that no one's going to watch, actually. No one will watch, will they?
Did you say what it was before?
Well, I was every time I wasn't on air, because they kept sort of like wheeling me in and out and between other guests. And every spare second I wasn't on camera, I was obsessing over my phone. To the point where they said, Joe, you need to go and sit in the green room. And I basically snarled, my phone doesn't work down there. I'm not moving from here where my phone works. And I was just reading rumours, things. My husband was sending me media alerts about this and that. And it was just the desperation to have something new to talk about. The next time I went in, I went, I've just been reading Claire Waite Keller. And Dermot said to me, where are you getting all this from? And I said, I could feel my face going red when I went, Twitter, felt like a moron. So when it was turned out to be right, I was like, oh god, that I can't even remember. It was suddenly a flurry of rumours. So I feel quite fraudulent, because it was other people who uncovered the information, and I just went on television and went,
good reporting.
Awesome.
Doesn't matter.
We can talk about
your sources.
Just the 18 million people watch the peak audience of the
BBC.
Isn't
that extraordinary?
18 million people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd known that at the time, you probably wouldn't have been.
Oh no! Well,
it.
I knew it was a lot. I don't get nervous about the idea of crowds. I get nervous about looking like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm more likely to get nervous in a very small group than I'm in a really big group. It's something about being the intimacy of being able to see people's faces that freaks me out way more than.
You don't see all
Wembley.
Those.
Yeah.
Oh,
you don't
wow.
See,
yeah.
You don't see 18 million viewers.
Do you know?
Do you?
You must get that. Do you know
what
I mean?
I always think like. TVs, actually, I mean, there's how many people in a TV studio?
Yeah.
Mm. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to see them, but I think, yeah, in an intimate setting or gig was definitely more, I don't know, it's just more palpable and feels like there's
yes.
more jeopardy.
I agree.
Yeah, it's more personal.
Yeah.
And what do we like as wedding guests, chaps? Do we like weddings? Do we get? I get a bit nervous about weddings. How do you feel?
Well,
about
I'm not
weddings?
So good on the who was it mentioned the pacing the alcohol.
No, that's all. That's why weddings should never start early.
It's
they
a
sure
little
the
bit,
afternoon affairs.
Let's be honest. It's a little bit boring, isn't it? After a while, once you've said hello to everyone you haven't seen for the last 5 years, there's nothing to do but drink. And wait.
And feed people.
Yeah.
They never
yeah.
feed you enough. That's what I find is always...
Go straight for the parents' friends. That's what I think. Go for the generation above you, and you have the best conversations.
Go to top wedding
table. Find the auntie's table and stay there.
Well, that reminds me, actually. I went to a wedding once, and the bride's grandmother pulled me aside and started saying what a terrible choice of husband it was, and... And
brilliant.
It was actually amazing.
Brilliant.
It was amazing. Yeah. They're still together, by the way. But yeah.
So is anyone going to a wedding this year?
No, I haven't been asked to a wedding. See, I do like a wedding, but I don't like it if I don't really know the people. Because then I feel like a bit of a fraudster, to be honest. Because I'm I don't really know.
I don't like
my theory is as well is you're actually doing them a favour, because I think a lot of brides and grooms and more grooms and brides and brides feel obliged to invite obviously a much wider gang than they really want to invite, and it costs them a lot of money. So I always think I'm actually doing you a favour, because you're basically saving yourself 50 quid a head on food. If I say no, I can't make it, because like I said, I only now go to weddings of people I genuinely am close to.
Because I think, and my thing is speeches, unless you're really 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 really
don't do
which
that.
There are not masses of people. Oh, funny, and a good orator. Otherwise, just keep it to 5 minutes.
See, I was once at a wedding where there was an open mic, and they literally were passing the mic, and it went on for about an hour and a half.
And with sort of like really obscure stories that only two people know about. And all of that.
And also,
and
it's always in that, under those circumstances, it's always you had to be there.
Yeah.
You think they're telling you something really universally hilarious, and it's really not.
Just know your audience.
Yeah. Have you done the whole best man?
We're so grumpy, aren't we?
Oh, no, I wasn't best
William
man.
He was the vicar at my wedding.
He
married us.
That's amazing.
We got drunk.
Still available.
I mean, that's ultimate, isn't it?
We ordained ourselves
done Harry
on the
and
internet.
Well,
years ago.
I did offer. Yes, we ordained.
We ordained ourselves as priests years ago in Cornwall.
Why wouldn't you?
And then when I got married, he did the service.
Aww.
William did the service.
Were you nervous?
Beautiful.
That is gorgeous.
No, I quite like the attention. Because I think when you go to a wedding, you've got to have a role.
Yeah.
Like my friend was going to a wedding and his wife is a bridesmaid, and I was like, brilliant, you are the husband of the bridesmaid. It's like that gives you a role.
Yeah.
You're in.
You can just,
and I felt like
me,
I had a role.
Yeah.
So I dressed. It gave me everything. It gave me purpose. I knew what I was gonna wear, it was gonna be sort of something slightly Japanesey, I thought brilliant, It's very clean. Who's the vicar? He's the one wearing Japanese.
That's so amazing.
I'm feeling an online gallery coming on about celebs who are ordained or officiated at weddings. Because Adele did Alan Carr's, didn't she?
Oh, well, there you go.
So there you go.
There's
a making of a gallery here. Will and Adele alone.
There must have been others.
There'll be
others. Amazing. Mm. So maybe, because my 20th wedding anniversary is not that far away. Maybe you could do my vow renewal.
Yes.
You're not busy, Will.
Can I wear Japanese?
You can wear whatever the hell you like, as long as it comes with the rollerblades as well. And I'll give you a list of people it's fine to knock over.
I'll do that.
Gainly
rollerblading
thing.
No, it was actually quite amazing. The thing is, Chris's wedding was like just a brilliant holiday.
It was abroad, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it didn't feel like... I don't know, that just felt different. That felt... different.
I'm saying that in a creepy way. I've stalked you on Instagram because my flatmate at the time went to your wedding.
Paul McGee,
lovely Paul McGee. Don't mention him. He doesn't listen to the podcast. He doesn't deserve mention.
He doesn't like the notoriety.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
He doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to yours either, by the way. So maybe we can do a double pronged attack and make him listen to both our podcasts.
Yeah.
It was much fun.
Yes.
It was much, much, much fun.
But also, I think it's clever because if you get married abroad, you automatically narrow the guest list because people don't want to spend the money to go.
Yeah, and the people who do come...
really want to be there.
People, I tell you what, people love a wedding. At our wedding, I was like, people turned up, everyone was good news, no one was annoying or grumpy ever. They loved it, and they were up and partying from 10 in the morning till 4 in the morning, every day. I would come down to the pool, and it would be like... Copacabana. I was like, how are you all drinking? It's 10 o'clock. Let's go to bed.
Fritz abroad.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I don't think I went to one of, actually, our friend Claire got married in Italy, and I went to her wedding. It was really small. It was like 39 people.
Yeah, I wasn't invited to our friend Claire's wedding.
Sorry, Claire.
Our friend
you
Claire.
And her wedding planner in Italy, her Italian wedding planner, said she's never seen a wedding party drink the bar pretty much dry and then take whatever was left on the coach back with them.
Amazing.
It was carnage. It was full amazing. On Brits abroad, you know.
Are you still friends?
Oh yeah, we love Claire. Yeah. I'll be the bigger person. It's fine.
She's over
yeah.
it.
But that is quite hard, like, because you have to have a cut off at some stage.
Yeah.
Don't you? You have to go like,
oh yeah.
There's only so many people I can I can
and you know, and now I understand where I stand. I know
is
my place.
Is she coming to your vow renewal?
Not now,
well,
she's not.
You know, that'll I'll have to take that under advisement.
I think, yeah. I think we announce it live on air.
Yeah.
Do we cry at weddings? Are we blubbers?
No. I mean, I cried at the royal wedding.
I
what
cried at
the
Megan,
royal
I
wedding.
I have to say, Megan walking down solo got me all choked up. And that, and also that cellist.
Doria.
Amazing.
Doria made me cry. I just can never help thinking of Harry walking behind his mother's coffin, and the juxtaposition of that, and suddenly he's at the happiest day of his life. It killed me.
I think there were so many sort of gifts and memes, weren't there? But it was so true. Like, everyone just kept saying, you want to find somebody who looks at you the way Prince Harry looks at Meghan Markle. Because just the look on, they
to
clearly
be honest,
love each other so
I
much.
I look at Meghan Markle the way Harry looks at Meghan Markle. I mean, she's just stunning, right?
She is.
Yeah.
I see. Hearing you say about the walking behind the Harry walking behind his coffin, it makes me think. I do cry at weddings when I know someone really well, and I think of the good times and the tougher times.
The
and then when I know that they found someone that really loves them, and they get a lot of happiness from them, that I feel like I have a neighbour's flashback. You know, and I go through everything, and I think, you know what I mean?
You angry Anderson.
Yeah. And I just sort of...
Kylie Jason, yeah.
Yeah.
God,
and I...
really drunk the Australian Kool-Aid.
He's very on brand, isn't he, strictly?
But that's when I cry, because I think, oh, gosh, that's quite... I'm really... I cry with sort of... Yeah.
Well, lovely listeners, if you're sat there thinking we're talking a load of nonsense, you disagree with everything we've said about weddings or anything else, do email us.
You're wrong if you do.
Do email us. We love hearing from you. The email address is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to suggest any topics as well for future episodes.
Which is such a good name for a podcast.
Yeah. Is it just
is
me?
Is it just me?
Well, it's a good job, really. You're on it.
Yeah. But it is. Who came up with it?
Well, it was really bizarre. When we renamed it, because it had a different name originally, and then when we renamed it, we kind of both independently came up with it and sent it to each other.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird. And that's when we kind of went, oh, that's it there.
So there's a lawsuit in
there.
And then somebody sent me a pair of underpants yesterday with it embroidered on them.
Oh, yes. Thanks for sending Joe the embroidered Is It Just Me knickers.
From Stripe and Stare.
The merchandise dream starts here.
Oh, wow.
Get on board the Homo sapiens merchandise truck.
Actually, Is It Just Me Who Never Takes Photos Anymore is a very pertinent one, because I've just had my mum's 70th birthday. They didn't take any pictures. And why is that? Why?
You're having too much fun.
Were you living in the moment? Did you hire a photographer?
No.
Schoolboy era, Chris.
I did take a couple of pictures, but I didn't. Taking a picture for me actually kind of ruins the moment, but it is really nice to have them, because I don't know if you feel this, but with social media, like, it's really lovely to have the memories, but sometimes I'm like, can everyone stop photographing?
Just have the memory.
Well,
actually, I mean, this isn't quite on subject, but going back to the royal wedding, a friend of mine had a friend at a wedding in France when the royal wedding was happening, and they sent, and they got sent a picture, and it was the most depressing thing. If that had been my wedding, I would have cried. Basically, the congregation at this wedding were all watching the royal wedding on their phone.
See, now that
And there was a picture of all these people on their phone at somebody else's wedding.
That is
like,
shitty.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
I know.
Do you know what makes me laugh?
That's
though,
really sad.
But
going back to the royal wedding, which I will not dwell on, but my mum, technophobe, complete technophobe, apparently, we were driving somewhere on the day of the wedding. She's got her iPhone in the back of the car, and she's found out how to watch the royal wedding on her iPhone. I was like, not such a technophobe all the time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Until she gets the bill.
She needed to see that. She wasn't going to let anything stop her.
No, I feel bad because I'm terrible for taking pictures as well. But I also now rely on, so I have some friends who are religious at taking pictures. So any life event, I know I've got certain friends. Actually, Robert Hogg, my friend, he's always taking pictures, and he always says, I'm never in any pictures, but he's always taking them. But it's really bad because it's so complacent. You almost just rely on somebody else to do. And I am bad. I need to make more of an effort to actually take pictures. But I am with you. I get totally caught up in the moment and forget to do it.
We've got a friend, Susan, who does a lot of taking pictures. And if she's there, I'm like, this has been documented.
Yeah.
I never get them sent to me.
But then I went to a dinner last night, which was really lovely. It was a worky dinner, but it was really beautifully done. But I'm telling you, the photographer that they hired did not stop taking pictures all night. I was just like, I wanted to say about 10:30, babe, you've got it. Yeah. It's like, here's another shot of us all eating.
No one wants
me crazy.
No one wants a chewing picture. Yeah. Nobody looks good eating. Like, even Angelina Jolie looks shocking when she's chewing. Like, nobody looks good eating, do they?
Bet she doesn't.
Yeah.
You like taking pictures.
I do, yeah. And I think, I'm like you, though. I've got a lot of, I've got a lot of dross on my phone, because I take pictures of like things that amuse me, like pictures or bits of graffiti or a cute dog, and think, oh, you know, if I'm bored later, I'll look through this and I might say something funny on Instagram. And then like weeks later, I go through my phone and think, what the hell is that? Why did I take that? And I take a lot of pictures of magazine covers, or I'll be out and see colours on a billboard and think, oh, I must show the art director, I really like those colours. So I'm kind of always trying to make myself more visual in my job. Okay. But then significant events, I always forget. And in fact, I get slightly embarrassed. Again, the royal wedding. I thought, I can't not have pictures that I've done this. So I asked one of the people offset. I was really embarrassed to ask them. I said, while I'm doing it, can you take some pictures? So I thought, but it's rare for me to get over myself and ask things like that at these things. Yeah.
I think the good people, I don't have that. They just take pictures of everything. I wish I was a bit more like that.
I wonder if it's like, you're talking about taking photos of things that inspire you for your work. Being a director, it's the same. And I actually think that's kind of why I quite like switching off that part of my brain.
Yeah,
it's
gonna
like,
say,
I don't have to consider what this looks like. I can just...
But I love that
it's a busman's holiday.
I love that it hits me when I'm not walking around scanning like the Terminator for things that inspire me. But if you see something and it just hits your brain, and you're like, ooh, I love doing that.
Can I just say that you've got to beware the camera roll, the automatic camera roll. Have you been burnt? I have. You're in these WhatsApp groups, and obviously you have friends who send you horrific images of really questionable things.
Yeah.
But of course, I had that setting where anything I opened automatically saved to my phone.
Yeah.
So then if anybody looked through my phone, I've got all these really like dark, hideous, horrible things.
What are the questionable things?
Oh, you know, just like private parts or like, you know.
Yeah.
Just wrong things. Wrong things.
There's someone.
You have to be very careful.
There's someone who will remain nameless who... within this theatre company, who comes up with the most extraordinary amount of disgusting videos and photos that are clearly sent. I mean, they're quite funny. But who are the people who come up with them to begin with?
Where do they find them?
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, beware the WhatsApp camera roll, people. Yeah. I've been burned too many times with that one.
See, I don't like taking pictures.
Don't you? Why?
No, because... I made a choice to, at any event, like, just be like, I'm just going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And not, just, I don't need to, I'll remember it. I can remember it in my brain.
Well, we have got like, this crazy phase, haven't we, where people are filming concerts and theatre shows. It's like, just watch it. I want to say to these people, when are you ever going to watch that back?
I've never seen anyone watching back a gig on their phone.
No, but... devil's advocate, in defence, I sometimes, if I'm having a bit of a bleak period or a down day, one of the things I do that does cheer me up is look back through my camera roll.
Yes.
I do that. Actually,
the happy things that you think, oh yeah, that was good. Actually, come on, Elvin, your life's not so bad. Look what you did here. Look at you. Do you know what I mean? And so I kind of use it for that.
Actually, my friend Lee is very good. He doesn't take pictures. He doesn't publish them anywhere. He doesn't put them on social media. He says they're just for him. And he must do what you do.
Yeah.
He just literally goes through them. We should do that.
We have, Will and I send each other photos the entire time of God knows what. And if you go into your messages, you can click on every media you've ever exchanged, and it is like the most hilarious, like, mood board.
I mean, that could be a book.
It's basically pictures of plants, clothes, dogs,
antiques.
Like,
it
just
sounds like a
and you
coffee
remember,
table book.
Men
and you remember
that we're lusting after,
yeah, like,
but mostly plants.
Yeah,
and antiques.
But I love that.
And that's really
yeah.
nice.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
That's a little memory stream that you would.
Oh yes.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend sent me a picture of her toddler and his little mate the other day. She said, here's the situation. They just decided to spontaneously take down their pants in the middle of the street and have a pee.
Amazing.
I just
love it.
Yeah.
That's
stuff
I love.
Yeah.
That's why phones, I think for those kind of things, for instantaneous, everyday things, that I wouldn't have taken photos of if I'd had a camera. They are. They can. Looking back on them.
Yeah.
They can.
Yeah.
I can be really happy that
I'm sticking up for the iPhone, in this instance.
I'm with you.
I think you've won me round actually. That idea. I never do that. I never go through my pictures to sort of remind myself of how fortunate I am. So I'm going
to
take. That's my takeaway from this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Not. I'm not a fan of an iPhone at a wedding though, but I would be quite happy to use my iPhone to take a quick snap of my neighbours.
And that's a beautiful summary of everything we've talked
to
about today. I see what you've done there, and
yeah,
I applaud you for it.
Yeah.
There
you go, guys.
Thank you very much.
Gosh,
thank
I enjoyed
you.
This.
Is it really warm in this room?
Well, it's because we've covered
right.
the fan up
oh,
with
yes,
a
yes.
towel. We,
yeah.
we can now release
listen to the
extractive
of the noise.
Yeah, listen.
It's all right. We're all going to have a shower now in your shower.
Yeah.
Don't,
because I'm weird. Last one in, and what's in
now, listeners, look at the difference. You can tell. Although it's already getting a lot cooler in here.
It is a lot cooler, isn't it?
We really tried for you, listeners.
Yes.
So we hope you heard it.
I really hope you stuck with us through the fan. Thank you.
It was getting a bit close. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Will. Lovely
thank
to see
you
both. Good luck
you.
With everything.
Thank you.
See you again soon. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.